Hi, this is Space Kate reporting from IAC 2017 in Adelaide. This is, as far as I know, it's the biggest astronautical congress in the world. There are over 4,000 people here talking about all manner of exciting space exploration, science, technology and research things. And I have just caught up with Benjamin Bonsu from Ghana, who I asked him just now, how should I introduce you? And he said, I'm a nobody. Which, funnily enough, is something that I used to say quite a lot. I'm not really anybody. I'm a nobody from East London, and somehow I have got into this whole space thing, and I want to get more people involved. Now, I think that should be a subject quite close to Benjamin's heart, because Benjamin is part of the team that very recently launched Ghana's first ever satellite. Now, that is quite an achievement. You are surely not a nobody once you've done that.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I really appreciate some of your your words. Benjamin was born in 1984, 31st July, and when I started my high school, I was a science student at that time, and went to Polytechnic in Ashanti region in Ghana, Kumasi Polytechnic, and from there, I was really, there was nothing like space at that time in my mind, because, I was just doing electrical technician course, and because my father has some electrical company and some civil works company, so basically just to finish and go and help him. But my father saw something within me, because, sharing ideas, anything he brings on board, whatever contribution, he really likes it. So he wanted me to further, but I was that kind of a little bit party guy, so he was really pissed off. He always put pressure on me. So one day, I told him that, Father, okay, I don't want you to stress yourself anymore. I want to go to university. That is what you want. And I will just get my first degree, and you'll be happy. That is all. So I got admission at All Nations University. It's a private university founded by Dr. Samuel Donko. And actually, this man is the first man who came to Ghana in 1988 to tell the government that if you really want this country to move forward, then you need to invest in technology, you need to give permission to private sectors that really can build a university to support the education level in the country. And he too also passed through his struggle, and in 1999 the change in government, the person that was in charge of the Ministry of Education really understood what this man was really after. And later on, the private institution was conceived. That idea was conceived. So he is the father of all the private universities. And so All Nations University, they had a very exceptional engineering program, like electronic communication engineering, biomedical, because they were the first to introduce all these courses in Ghana. Yes. So from there, I got admission at the Electronic Communication Engineering Department. And because I did electrical in the Polytechnic, I was having some knowledge respect to engineering and some other. So what happened was, in my sixth semester, they have in the Electronic Communication Department, they have satellite communication course that you do for 3 months. So, the professor... The lecturer there, he was not a professor actually, but a master's degree, like assistant professor. So he was teaching about satellite communication, but everything was kind of history. Sputnik was this in this year, and this was Russian. We found this story very, to me, it was really boring. So seventh semester, it was satellite communication too. We were thinking that at least we can know something more technical, but he was still talking about this historic. It was really boring. So I asked him one question that day, that his name was Mr. Shadrach. I said, Mr. Shadrach, so can't Ghana build a satellite on its own? And he laughed at me, that Benjamin, hey, satellite, all this satellite is for the Western ears. When you say Western ears, means it's for the foreign people, it's for the developed. Don't even dream of that. Ghana, no, no, no. He laughed. That was 2009. No, 2010, yes. And I was like, so he gave us an assignment. that everybody should go and read about some other historic satellites apart from the one he has told us. So whilst browsing, I found out some interesting satellites. And fortunately for me, I saw some Mocky satellites. I said, what is Mocky satellite? Not knowing it was a Cansat development kind of people in South Africa even also doing it. And America everywhere doing Cansat development to train high school. Mm-hmm. I was seeing even high school.
So when you say Cansat, you mean like the CubeSat, the
Cansat is a very miniature, it's a Mocky satellite that is being housed, like all the components are housed in a can, like a 350 ml.
So literally like a Coke can, okay.
And you put some sensors, like a temperature sensor and some cameras, and you use weather balloon to launch it. So I was looking at these videos and I was like, but this thing, we are electronic engineer, we can do it. I came back and I told him that, okay, he asked me, what was your results of the homework? And I told him, I saw Cansat. He said, what is Cansat? He said, satellite. I said, yeah, I think it's one of the satellites being developed by high school students in overseas or in developed countries. So we can also do it. Say, hey, Benjamin, cool down. So fortunately for me, there was one guy who went to India to do this Cansat program, and he was looking for a job in our university called Mr. Manfred Kwashi. So when he came, he told them that it's possible. Though we cannot go into orbit, but we can demonstrate to the people of Ghana that these are the things we need to. It cuts across this STEM education for high school students to actually appreciate or stimulate their interest in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So it's a good platform. So, okay, who is going to fund it? That is where the problem. We have been talking, who is going to fund it?
Well, it's like they say, no bucks, no Buck Rogers.
Yes, so I heard that the founder and the president of the university will be coming because he's always in Canada. He normally visits there because he's a very busy guy. So something just strike me deep within that, okay, when the man is in Ghana, just approach him boldly and tell him that the electronic communication department have found a new project and you have to fund it. Benjamin, just be courageous and say it to the man. He will understand you. So I told Mr. Manfred Kwashi that this is what we have to do. We need to tell this man something. And he said, okay. So the man came down, we told him, and he said, oh, that is what, in Canada, this is what these students are doing. And I really will help. It was just easy as that. But, you know, people were just saying that, oh, it's not possible. No, you need to do this. So we started with a Cansat. So from 2012 to 2013, we were able to develop the first Cansat in the sub-Saharan Africa. Nobody has deployed apart from South Africa. So we were there. BBC came. We heard that you want to go to space. And you were using the Cansat. And BBC, everybody, Deutsche Welle, well, whatever, all the journalists, they were really amazed. And we successfully deployed. We were able to take some image of our horizon, our university, and it's made a news. So the management were very, very happy because now students want to come to the university that, oh my God, this university, private university, is doing something. So from there, we were being invited to come to the university consortium, University Engineer of Consortium, UNISEC, is in Japan. So they had their first UNISEC global meeting and they invited us to come and share what we've learned about cancer. Then. So I met Jordi, maybe you know Jordi from Kapoli, the one who came, he and Professor Twist came out with the idea of CubeSats. He's from Kapoli Technic, yeah. So Professor Jordi told us that, hey, you guys, I'm really happy with what you're doing in this country, Ghana, and what you're trying to contribute to space activities. But your next project, don't try to build a satellite. Know how to communicate with satellite. That is the best approach. That is what we started doing. We have a ground station that we were communicating with satellites. It's okay. So how do we get a ground station? Because what we know about ground station is big antennas, big parabolic dish antennas, you know, something. So how can we? This man, is he serious? He said, no. Just Yagi antenna. Just get some radio. get some rotator antenna, rotator controllers to able to just use some cheap softwares that are free to communicate with satellites, and we have free satellites. Oh, really? Okay. So I came down and we told the management that, okay, this is another deal. We have to get a ground station. He said, go ahead, Benjamin. You and your team, you don't have to go ahead. The man just sponsored. We bought some radio transceivers. We bought Cantronics. Some Cantronics radio transceivers. And also we bought some ICOM. We bought some rotators. And we started doing everything on our own. Try and error. We follow some manuals and go to the internet. And fortunately for us, we were able to track the first satellite called Jognu. It belongs to some Indians. And we got this satellite beacons. Beep, 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 beep. Oh my God, that day, oh, I wish you were there. You know, it was like, oh my God, hey, we are receiving something.
I mean, this sounds like, you know, this is like when Sputnik first went up with its little beeps and everybody was completely shocked. And so you had your own kind of Sputnik
Tears.
Moment. But you built your ground station. That's great.
Tears. And we screamed, hey, everybody, hey. Hey, we are receiving some signals from that satellite. And from there, we sent that sound to that university. And they told us that, oh, really amazing, because in sub-Saharan Africa, there's no amateur ground station. It's only South Africa. And, they, you know, within the sub-Saharan, there's no. So these people send us that they are from Ghana, and, you know, Ghana fall within the Greenwich Meridian, and it's a good center where they can able to know how their satellite condition is. Oh, my God. They say, okay, hey, you guys, we give you this software. Do this analysis. This is, and we were supporting them. And from there, we heard from ISS that, okay, ISS, they were trying to celebrate some of the Gregorian and some of the astronauts. So they sent some images through the SSTV, slow scan television. We have some software like that, that you can able to receive this imagery. Okay, we look at that, and we also try to get, we tried many days, we couldn't. So one Saturday morning, we were there. The reason was that we were not using Doppler shift. That time we were just, you know, set to the center frequency and we're. So we used the Doppler shift. Oh my God. And we used the MSSTV software. It's a free software. And we saw that. And, you know, it was decoding. And we saw that image of that the first guy who went to...
Oh, Yuri Gagarin. Yeah. So it must have been for Yuri's
God.
Night. Yeah. For Cosmonaut's Day, probably. Yeah.
And, you know, and ARIS, you know, they have an organization called ARIS. ARIS was surprised. Oh, my God, Ghana? Who? This university. And it was really amazing. So they sent us their QSL card, and that really motivated us. So from there, we joined many networks. The UNICEF ground station network said, okay, all the Japanese university satellite passes over Ghana. You got to receive beacon, send it to us. Let's know the health status of that satellite. So that one gingered us more. And the next is to go to orbit. Okay, what do we have to do? I told the management, we need to get an advanced study. Benjamin, your guys are too much and it's a lot of money. So fortunately, whilst in Japan, I met this professor, Professor Mengu Cho, Kyushu Institute of Technology. So he saw me and he told me that, okay, fine. One of my guys will come to the African Leadership Congress in Ghana, because Ghana hosted it that day, that year in 2014. He will come. His name is Polanski, Dr. Polanski. So Dr. Polanski will come, talk to him, let know your plans. So, you know, the guy see me that, you look at this young guy. Why is he so passionate and you want to, who is this guy? And, you know, one thing that helped me, because, you know, my father normally talks to some of the big guys in Ghana for contracts. So I meet them in my father's house. So I had that kind of courage to talk to top notches. Hey, who are you? Okay, this is what I want to do. Can you help? And stuff like that. So Dr. Polanski saw the way this guy is doing, and he's like, okay, fine. Benjamin, we can help you guys to advance your knowledge. There is this project going on at Kyushu Institute of Technology called the Hoyofo. That is what Pauline joined. Dr. Pauline was the manager of that satellite project. You can come and know how to develop satellites and know the space environment testing and stuff. And after that, you have to convince your management in Ghana to send many people or two or three guys to join you, and maybe you guys can do something. That's what Polanski said. Fine, okay. Management, this is what they are saying. Oh, this guy, I think this guy really wants to drain the whole management.
Oh, no,
financial.
Not you again. Oh, my God. What does he want this time?
Benjamin, yeah. What do you want this time? Yes. Well, that's it. We want to do this. You know, I'm somebody. If I want this, I'll put a lot of pressure. You know, it will work. You say, what the fuck is this guy doing? You know, it's a lot of... Please, Daddy, we want to... Sir... This thing can help the university.
This is passion. You need it. You have it, obviously.
Benjamin, okay. We will sponsor you. Okay. And when you go, do your best. Whatever thing you learn. That's what they told me. Whatever thing you learn, bring it back and start teaching. I said, oh, okay. So I went there. I joined the project. And I was the first Ghanaian in the history of Japan university project to join a satellite project. First in the history of Japan. So I told them, have you seen what this is going to bring a good record to your university? Management, please, President Donko, come to Kishu Institute of Technology and see it yourself. Benjamin, I'm very busy. I cannot come to Japan. Japan is very long. I need to spend almost 1.5 days to... I said, no, Daddy. Please, just 2 days, come and see it yourself. And let's plan on how we can also build this same infrastructure in back. Benjamin, I've been to NASA before. I know. I've been to JP. I said, Daddy, please just come. I dragged with him for almost like 5 months. And he said,
what, passion and persistence.
Money? Okay, Benjamin, we are coming. But please make sure that what you are saying is real. You know, I know students can do this. So I told my professor that, sir, the whole founder and the president of my university is coming to visit you. You need to give him a VIP treat. That is what I said to my professor. And my professor even marveled my brain because he was really shocked. All his career for 18 years that time. 18 years, nobody from developing countries coming to sign, So he was saying, are you sure, Benjamin? I said, sir, just give him a VIP treat. He said, okay, when he comes, I will take him to the president of Kyushu Institute of Technology, set a high-level meeting with you. So, sir, I'm very grateful. Okay, Daddy, come to this time. My professor will be in Japan at that time, so come. So they came. And when he came, he opened his mouth and said, okay, I've seen that you are not joking anymore. And I told my professor, sir, we want to actually demonstrate to the people of Ghana that at least Ghanaian citizen can think and do something for his own country, respect to space. Can we build a satellite? Benjamin, I think we suggested 10 kg and he laughed. He said, no, relax, guys. You need to start with CubeSat technology first. Go to orbit, demonstrate to the people of Ghana that it is possible. Sir, how do we do it? These are this and that and that. Okay, he told my management in Ghana, and the man said, oh, it's okay. I'll send two of his colleagues to join him. And that started.
And then you ended up on the Birds program with Kyushu Tech?
I gave the name Birds.
Oh,
we had a meeting,
yeah.
And people... So after that, my professor had a mindset, okay, hey, every student in his laboratory, okay, this is what is happening. Every country that really want to build its own country first, or that talk to your management. So we were the first to bring that idea to my professor.
And when your satellite went up, you were not the only country sending their first satellite, were you?
Yes.
You had Mongolia,
Bangladesh.
Mongolia,
yes.
And even Nigeria. I mean, it wasn't their first satellite, but their first CubeSat. So wow, you actually have made a difference
there. Yes.
So, I mean, obviously, like, you personally speak very passionately about space, and,
yes,
and you've shown what it's done to your life. But the other aspect is this inspiring your nation. And
yes,
and how important do you think it is for kind of the non-traditional space nations to get involved and to show their country people that, you know, A, it's possible, and B, it's worth doing?
Yes, that's a very good question. Right now, currently, as I'm talking to you, now, Rwanda, they have heard the news about Ghana. So, wow, if Ghana can do it, then we too can do it. So this upcoming conference on November 20th to 23rd of 2017, they are coming to our university to, you know, ask questions how we were able to do it. And like I said in my presentation, the university-based approach is the best for developed countries. And the small satellite technology is the gateway. Okay, I think what the government has been synthesized by other big companies is, okay, you need a micro satellite, you need 500 kg mass, that has a lot of good high resolution cameras that can monitor your environment, that can do this and that for remote sensing. So when they go to meetings, when they receive the budget, it's mostly $2 billion or whatever, $200 million, and they think, oh, okay, we cannot. You understand? But now, look, we can use 500,000 to build a small satellite that can do the same work. And now, due to research and development, there has been a lot of innovation, a lot of stuff that, especially components that can miniaturize components that does the same work. You know, even NASA and all these JAXA, they are using small satellite to test, demonstrate, and do a lot of things in low Earth orbit. So,
I mean, CubeSats have really kind of revolutionized access to space, haven't they? I mean, the idea, you know, 10, 20 years ago, that the universities would be able to have their own satellite.
Of course.
It just seems, well, out of this world, really. Exactly. But these days, CubeSats seem to have kind of really changed. Well, they are in some ways democratizing access to space, which personally I think is a great thing. But, I mean, what next for Ghana? Do you think you will ever have a national space agency? Or do you think the sort of ground-up university, you know, an inspiration from people as enthusiastic as yourself is the way that you will continue?
Thank you very much for this question. You know, now it's ongoing. Now Ghana doesn't have a space agency. We don't have any framework governing space activities. And with Ghana Sat-1, it has even given us an eye-opening, especially I've been receiving a lot of calls from United Nations Registry, Benjamin, you need to register your satellite. ITU, people call. Benjamin, you need to register. You need to do this. You need to bring your frequency coordination and all these things. So I got an opportunity to meet one of the UN gurus, Dr. Wenabalo. So he gave me some guidelines to able to draft an Outer Space Act. So I've able to draft an Outer Space Act using the SOFIA guidelines. So these SOFIA guidelines guided me, and I used some of the Austria, their space policy and their space law act and other things to able to draft the Ghana Outer Space Act. So this one I've able to distribute it to some of the key personalities who are into Ghana law and who are into the, especially the Ministry of Foreign Affairs Department. So these people are looking at this, and this coming, next 2 months, I will officially present this proposed draft to the President of Ghana to set some committee to look at it. And if it's okay, they pass it to the Parliament House, and they can make an act. They will pass an act out of it, so that this can able to monitor or regulate the space activities in our country. So it's ongoing, and with that, we can use that to create the space agency.
So you now, haven't been to your professor with your like, oh, you know, first of all, I came for a CANSAT, then I came for a ground station,
yes.
Then I came for an orbit. Can I have a space agency now, please?
Yes, so that is the next. So this is part of our 10-year strategic plan for the country. And also, Ghana became a member of the UN Committee for Peaceful Use of Outer Space Affairs, the UN COPOS. And with that, they have not actually ratified all the 5 outer space treaties. So this time, Ghana has only signed only the, it was the Moon Agreement and the liability. But with respect to registration convention and the remaining ones, they've not signed. So we've had a discussion with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs because they have a permanent mission to the United Nations from Switzerland. So they are also looking at it on how they can able to ratify, sign all the 5 outer space treaties and also ratify. So these are some of the things that is ongoing. And we hope that if there's no change in government, and these people that we've able to convince them are still in power, I think by the year 2018-19, Ghana will have its own space agency, ratify the outer space treaties, and also bring out some other space policy or frameworks that can govern both non-governmental and governmental institutions regarding space activities.
And have you spoken to the head of the South African space kind of agency, who, I mean, I heard him speak at the Global Exploration Forum in Beijing, and he was very keen to point out that it's important for nations with existing developed space programs such as the US and Europe and Russia to ensure that we're not leaving behind the developing nations when we're looking forward to pushing humanity further and, you know, deeper into space exploration. And how do we bring everybody into these international cooperation agreements sort of moving forwards? And one of the suggestions for Africa potentially was that there might be a bit like the European Space Agency, perhaps a combined African Space Agency, so that some of the African countries that don't already have their national agencies could still be part of a larger body that would put forward their interests in space. I just sort of wondered if you think that might be a good idea.
That is a good idea. For the African Space Agency mindset, is really a good idea. But when I was in Austria, it was 3 years ago, at the UN Austria Symposium, they had some discussion on the Unispace Plus 50, and also some shared about the UN COPOS meetings with the subcommittee for technical issues and the legal framework. So I asked this question that, why the UN COPOS leadership doesn't have some kind of an enforcement? Because the unfortunate part is Ghana, we became member since 2013. 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, we have not been present in all the STSC and the LSC meetings. And if somebody is a member in an organization and he has not reported for the past 4 years, why is it that the UN COPOS shouldn't charge him with some kind of, hey, you are not coming, what is the reason? You need to pay this fine, or we need to do this.
Yeah, you have to be actively involved.
Of course. So I told them that there must be some kind of system that will push them that, hey, we joined this and we are paying this annual fee or whatever. If you are not present, but what they said, United Nations member states, their policies are sovereign and we don't have to use some workforce on them. But the question is, if we have the 2 subcommittees, why is it that they don't give them some homework? Okay, for example, after this meeting, whatever thing we discuss about technically and whatever thing that is respect to legal, okay, Ghana, you have not ratified the Outer Space Treaties. Okay, we have given you an assignment. Read this profile, read these documents and draft your own. In the next year meeting, bring it and we have a committee that will talk about it. Because we are there to study. You understand? The UN COPOS has even have a lot of power, more than the African space activity, because at the end, they are going to follow the same thing like the UN COPOS. You understand? So if you really want, like respect to their 2030 agenda, where they want every member state to be part of or ratify in the outer space treaties and all these things, they need to, even though they are sovereign, they need to use a system like a classroom where if you don't come for lectures, there's some homework, you like it or not, you need to do it. And I told them, and they included it in their resolution plan to be sent to the United General Meetings. So I'm really happy, and to hear from Simonita Di Popo that it's a great idea. They need to set up some committee to do that, because if they don't do that, the person will feel like, okay, I don't want to come. I don't have the technical team, for especially Ghana. You know, they don't have anybody who is interested in international space law, apart from the Ghana Aviation, that they have their airspace law and they are looking at it. But for, you know, outer space law and all this space law activity, they don't. So they feel like we don't have any person to represent, so we will not come. But if there is something there that they know that if you don't come, you are paying maybe $50,000 or you are out from that committee, I think it will push them.
So it's a bit of a push and pull then. You know, I know that UNCOPUS and UNOSA have been doing lots of activities to try and, I mean, there's the Kibo Cube, which is, again, another program trying to get non-spacefaring nations into space with CubeSats, again, with Japan, JAXA. But, yeah, like you say, you need a bit of the... That's the pull, I guess. But you, no, is that the push? I don't know. I've forgotten my directions now. But you need both sides. The opportunity needs to be there, but then you need to be also forced to take it seriously.
In a very professional way, where the person comes, okay, today IAC, maybe IAF, they have their membership. They expect that all the people that are part of the IAF membership are supposed to be here today. So those who couldn't come, there must be some committee set up. Why didn't you come? Next time, maybe these are the penalties. Okay, those who didn't come, this is what we decided. This is your assignment. Deadline is this.
So I'm just almost out of recording time here. But quickly, I mean, one of the themes this year from the IAF is the 3G. So gender, oh my gosh, what is it? Gender, generation, and geography.
And geography.
So, I mean, I look around the IAC here in Adelaide, and there don't seem to be many people from Africa represented here.
Fortunately, so, like I said, I'm the only Ghanaian. Nobody. I'm the only Ghanaian. And I'm coming from, if I didn't get sponsorship from my university in Japan, I would not be here.
So what can IAF do to ensure that next year in Bremen we see a bigger diversity?
Like I said, IAF governs a lot of space activities. UNOSA is part of it. Many organizations are part of it. What I really want to say is they should pass this information through the UNCOPUS meetings. Let them know the benefits that one will get, a member state will get, when you come to this kind of meetings or congress. Because with that, you get the network, the partnership, you get the eye-opening. You will see that this is what is happening. The benefits of space for humankind. Even though you don't have writer knowledge, when you come to this place, you know, the mood will just take you and you start thinking about space. So this is what they have to. They have to also set up a system that they can able to get these people. Okay. Even though it's very unfortunate that they cannot sponsor them to come, but at least a way whereby they can help other workshops.
Well, maybe there should be a sponsorship. They do something where, you know, you can come slightly cheaper if you're accompanying somebody else. So if you're a student, say your attendance at something like this can be a little cheaper. Maybe they should do a slightly bigger scale version of that, where, you know, NASA, Roscosmos, ESA could sponsor a delegation from a less well-off country.
Yes.
Perhaps it's an idea.
But
anyway,
for developing countries to always depend on sponsorship, I think that is not a proper way. All right, because that is what.
But it might at least bring people to the table to start with, and from there.
Of course.
Hopefully,
yes.
We can keep you there.
Yes. So it's also a good plan. But what we have to do is they need to try to have a kind of strategy where they will set up workshops, that IAF is coming to Ghana this year to start something. And from there, the people, they win them, the government, they tell them that next year, come to this place. I think they have the capability to do that.
And I would say, with your passion and your persistence, I think it won't be long until we see a Ghanaian space agency, and, you know, maybe even you as the head of it, sitting there on a panel with the heads of agencies.
2019, I strongly believe that Well, Ghana will have an agency. We will also have some policies and some Outer Space Act that will govern our activities, both at the private sector and the government sector.
Well, you heard it here first. 2019, watch this space.
Yes, 2019, we are also, you know, like I said, we want to make our space program very sustainable. So we are thinking of GhanaSat 2. There's big issue with illegal mining and water pollution in our country. So we really want to actually get the funding to go into that part using a 3U CubeSat to actually monitor these activities and solve these challenges in our country. So we believe it's going to be, it's not going to be a long way, but we believe that at least we need to do something for our country. And we believe that using the university-based approach is the best solution for developing countries to actually set their foot to space.
Well, I wish you the very best of luck. Thank you so much for talking to me, and enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was really a privilege.